This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
The largest crowd that I've ever spoken to was not a church gathering. It was not a convention, a religious convention. Interestingly enough, it was a high school graduation / baccalaureate for a public high school in Columbus years ago. 500 or 600 high school graduates plus their families. I was told I could speak on any subject I want, and when you think about that, that actually makes it harder to do that, to speak about whatever, you know, because it's easier when they give you an assignment at a speaking engagement. And for some reason, I felt led to share one verse of Scripture and to talk about this. It's the last verse that I read as the part of the text today about using everything in your life for the simple purpose of glorifying God. I had a man come up to me afterwards, and he was offended by it, and he said, "Why would you talk about these young people glorifying God? That was pretty heavy-handed, pretty heavy-duty. Why did you do that? Why would they let you speak about that?" And I said, "I didn't ask to speak here. They asked me and said, you can speak on whatever topic you want, and that's the topic I chose." And he just kind of mumbled something and wandered away. But I want to share that verse with you today as the key verse that whatever you do in your life, whatever, is to be done for the express purpose of glorifying God, which sounds very religious. How do you live it? I'm going to give you practical ways that you and I can glorify God. It's in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, as we are preaching through this book of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 10, 23, Paul is speaking. And he's dealing with the problem in three chapters, 8, 9, and 10, about eating meat that was sacrificed to pagan idols. That's not an issue for you or me, but it was a big deal in the church at Corinth. And people struggled. Do I eat meat that's been offered to a demon? And that's essentially what was happening in those pagan sacrifices. It was meat that was offered as an offering. You'd go to a banquet, and the host of the banquet would take a goblet of wine. You may remember this, and he would pour out the goblet of wine on the ground as an offering to a pagan deity. And then when the meal was over, he would take another goblet of wine, and he would pour it out as another offering. And so pagan feasts were a part of the culture. And so Christian people said, what do you do about eating meat that's sacrificed to an idol? And some of that's dealt with in this passage. Verse 23 says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you and for conscience' sake. The other man's conscience, I mean, not yours. For why should my freedom be judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? Now here's the verse that I shared with those high school students. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Well, I have a question for you. What would happen in your life and in mine if we really lived that verse in real life? That we said, whatever we do, including eating and drinking, whatever place we go to, everything we do, everything we say, we do it all for the glory of God. Would it impact your marriage? I think it would. Would it impact your personal life? You better believe it would. Our website is crosshope.org. Now here's the verse that I shared with those high school students. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. What would happen today if every man in this room, every husband said today, starting today, everything I do, even eating and drinking, a simple thing like that, I'm going to do for the glory of God. the way I treat my wife for the glory of God. The way I relate to my children, I'm going to do it for the glory of God. What would happen if every wife and mother said, everything I do, starting today, my job, raising the children, relating to my husband, will be done to bring glory to God? You say, that sounds a little far-fetched, a little heavy-handed. Maybe it is, but I really believe it's God's will for your life and mine. Years ago, a survey was done of 350,000 people. Get this, 350,000 people were studied for 15 years. You know what the study was about? It had nothing to do with medical problems, had nothing to do with this disease or that disease or medications or whatever. 350,000 people were studied for 15 years, and here's what the result found out, that 4 out of 5, 80% of them, were in the wrong job. Think about that. 8 out of 10 of those 350,000 people were in the wrong job. You may feel today you're in the wrong job. You may feel like you live in the wrong city. You may think you're in the wrong place and you should be somewhere else, and maybe there's some better place you should be. And I'm going to suggest this to you. God's place for your life and God's plan for your life has to do with you bringing glory to God, not where you live. God's plan for your life has to do with bringing God glory in your life, not how much money you make, not how successful you are or what a kind of achiever you are. Bringing God's glory is to be the object, the objective of your life. And I'm going to give you 8 ways today. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, so don't let that throw you 8 different things. But 8 ways, practical ways that are biblical that you can bring glory to God in your life. Let's bring up number 1. We can bring glory to God by the deeds we do. What does it mean to do a good deed? I think we've got a misunderstanding of what it means to do good deeds. The purpose of doing good deeds is not so that people will think you're nice. Well, you're such a nice person because you do those good deeds. I'm going to share with you in just a moment a scripture where Jesus said, you let your light shine by doing good deeds. And what happens is that people bring praise to God the Father because of what you do. Personal question. Can you think of one time in your life when somebody said, I thank God for you? I thank God for what you do and what you've done for my life. Let's bring up the words of Jesus if we can right there. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The goal is not to bring praise to me or to you. It's to bring praise to the Father, so that we live our lives in such a way that people say, I thank God for you because of what you do. We bring praise to the Father. Let's bring up the second one. We give glory to God by producing spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit has to do with what the Apostle Paul described in the New Testament, the fruits of the Spirit: peace, joy, love, patience. What fruits of the Spirit are going on in your life? And you say, well, what do you mean by that, Randy? What is it that the Holy Spirit of God is doing in your life that you couldn't do on your own? That's fruit of the Spirit.
Well, I hope you not only look at our website, but you can find our messages on iTunes simply by putting Cross Hope in the address bar. Our website is crosshope.org.
We give glory to God by producing spiritual fruit. That doesn't mean you grow apples in your backyard. It doesn't mean you grow peaches in the front yard. Spiritual fruit has to do with what the Apostle Paul described in the New Testament, the fruits of the Spirit: peace, joy, love, patience. What fruits of the Spirit are going on in your life? And you say, well, what do you mean by that, Randy? What is it that the Holy Spirit of God is doing in your life that you couldn't do on your own? That's fruit of the Spirit. I'm not talking about your personality type. I'm not talking about your bent, how you are. I'm not talking about, you know, whether you're an outgoing extrovert or you're an inward introvert. I'm not talking about that. It's what the Holy Spirit of God has done in your life. Let's look at the words of Jesus here from John 15:8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. How is it we show to people that we're a disciple of Christ? By a badge we wear? No, but by the life we live. And they see in your countenance, and they see in your spirit, and they see in the way you conduct your life, you are a follower of Jesus Christ. you are a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm moving quickly here. Number three, we honor God, we glorify God by thanking God for what He does in your life. Did you know that one of the most important things a husband does for a wife, and husbands need to hear this, it relates to a few weeks ago, the most important thing a husband can do is to thank his wife and say, I appreciate what you do. I thank God for you. I thank God for what you mean to me. I thank God for what you mean to our children. I thank God for what you mean to this family. And the greatest thing that a wife can do for her husband is to say, I thank God for you. Why? It brings honor and glory upon a person, and it brings honor and glory to God. Let's bring up the text there from Psalm 69:30. I will praise God's name in song and glorify Him with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving always brings honor to the one being thanked. And I'm not saying as a false exercise and to go through the motions, to share genuine thanksgiving and gratitude to the people in your life and most of all to the Lord. I asked people in the first service this question this morning. When's the last time you fell on your knees by your bedside and said, God, thank you for something, for anything? And most people would, and I'm including myself, we might have to scratch our heads and say, man, it's been a while. Maybe the most spiritual thing you could do today is to get alone and say, God, thank you for what you're doing in my life. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your intervention in our lives in this way. And I believe it honors God. It brings glory to Him. Let's bring up the fourth one. We bless God and we glorify Him by honoring God with our bodies. We talked about this in the Corinthian sermon series. What does it mean to honor God with your body? Well, it means the same thing when you honor your parents. When you honor your parents, you place value upon them. To honor your mom and dad means you place value on their opinions and their feelings. To honor your husband, to honor your wife, means you place value upon their feelings and their opinions. To honor God with your body means you believe what God says about your body. To flee immorality and to realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's bring up the text there, if we could. 1 Corinthians 6 says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor or glorify God with your body. Be careful what you show your approval for. That can be dishonoring to the Lord. We glorify and honor that which contradicts the God we say we believe in and contradicts His Word.
Well, this message continues tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. Tune in today to listen to some message you've missed on Cross Hope.
The fourth way is to honor God with our body as a way of glorifying Him. Number five, by suffering for Christ's sake. No one in this room has been arrested because you attend church on Sunday morning. No one's been beaten that I know of. No one's been slapped around because you were in a worship service, but people back then were. But you know what? People have been insulted because you take a stand on a moral position. People will insult you because of Christ. And this is one of the most interesting scriptures you'll ever find in the Bible. What happens to you when you're insulted because of Christ? Let's bring up 1 Peter 4:14. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed. You are blessed. Why? For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. There is something that will happen in your life, a measure of the Spirit of God upon your life that you don't experience. Get this. In any other way, except when you have been insulted because of Christ. And you took a position and you said, I do believe that God's Word does have something to say in my life. Yeah, I'm one of those crazy people that does believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm pretty radical. I do believe that it makes a difference what you do with your life. You will be insulted for that. And 1 Peter 4 says, God's glory will be upon you, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of His glory on you. Bring up number six. By being unified with fellow believers. Nothing dishonors a family, in my opinion, as much as a family that's known as a non-unified family. A family where there's a lot of strife and conflict. Nothing dishonors a business than to know at that place of business there's a group of people that don't get along. There's an organization where people fight all the time, and nothing dishonors a church more than being known as a place where people fight You know, you can drive by churches in Dayton or Cincinnati or Columbus, anywhere in Ohio, and people will say, well, they've been fighting since 1953 over that issue. And you know, they've got an issue there they've been fighting about since the 70s. And isn't it interesting that people know the conflicts that destroy families, and they know about the conflicts that destroy businesses, and they know about the conflicts at work, and they know about conflicts in churches, and it dishonors the Lord. How do I know that? Let's bring up the passage there from Romans 15. May God give you a spirit of unity, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. I think this is one of the most important things I'm going to say. Nothing brings more honor, in my opinion, to God the Father about a church is when people see a church that's together. Doesn't mean everybody agrees, because everybody agreeing on everything is a cult in my mind. This is not a cult. We're just agreeing together, coming together in agreement. Bring up number 7, by how they relate to their family. Did you know that the way you relate to your husband or your wife is a way to glorify God? That may be a newsflash for somebody today. But the way you relate to your children is a way to glorify God. The way you relate to your parents is a way to show honor to the Lord. How do I know that? Let's bring up the passage from Timothy. If a widow has children or grandchildren, these should put their religion into practice by caring for their own family. For this is pleasing to God. If anyone does not provide for his family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Some of you didn't know that was in the Bible.
Well, that may be a powerful scripture that speaks to you that you were familiar with or you're not. It doesn't matter. That's what the Word says. We'll continue and conclude this message on Cross Hope tomorrow. Look at our website, crosshope.org, to look at visual stories, to hear other messages you've missed on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org.
When it talks about provision, I think it's more than just providing food on the table. When it talks about provision, I think it's more than just providing clothes for somebody to wear. You provide not only sustenance and nourishment physically, but there's something to be said that parents provide an atmosphere of love and a spiritual context for those children to grow up in. You know, the starved children in our country, the United States of America, are the children that grow up in homes and they're starved of any relationship with the God who made them. They're starved. They've got full bellies, but they're starved spiritually. They've got full stomachs, but they're starved spiritually. And that is a terrible fate to say, my children grew up in the greatest nation in the world and they had great clothing and they had good schools and they played on a great soccer team and they had plenty of food to eat. But they never knew the Lord. They never had a relationship with the God who made them and the God who provided for them in the first place. Let's give one more here. Number 8, you give honor and glory to the Lord by confessing sin in your life. Did you know the most spiritual thing that somebody could do today would be privately after this service to get alone and say, God, I confess my sin, and then name the sin. Do you know what it means to confess sin? It means to agree with God about your sin. I don't want you to confess to me. I don't even want you to confess to the person next to you. I want you to confess to the one you offended. All sin ultimately is against the Father. Remember that. Nobody sins just against people on this earth. All sin is against the Father. It's a wound against the Father. How do I know that? Let's bring up Joshua here. The passage in Joshua under number 8. Can we bring that up? I guess not. I'll read it to you. Joshua 7:17 says that Joshua said to Achan, give glory to the Lord and confess what you have done. Give glory to the Lord and confess what you have done. One of the most spiritual moments of bringing glory to God in your life is when you own a sin, you finally acknowledge it and say, I've denied it for 20 years, but today I own it. And I confess it to the Lord, and that brings glory and honor to the Lord. Many of you know that I am a history buff, particularly with World War II history. I've been reading about one particular company in the Army, 200 men, who were involved in one particular mission when D-Day began. The 200 men were given the job of knocking out 4 large German guns. I think they were called 88s. They landed, and that was their job assignment. That was their objective. And here's what one of the men said in a personal testimony I heard on CD. He said, our job, our objective, was not our survival. That wasn't our job. Our job was to knock out those four guns. And we were all familiar with the objective to this point, so that when the man next to us was killed, when the man on our left was wounded, we knew what the objective was. If we were killed or wounded, the guys next to us knew what the objective was. And I was so touched by his words saying, our objective wasn't to survive. Our objective was to take out those guns. What's my point? Your objective in life is not just to survive in this culture. Your objective is not to be successful, not to get a great education. Your ultimate objective, if you can believe this, is verse 31 that says, whatever you do, even by your eating and drinking, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That's your objective. That's my objective. And you know what? You don't have to be in the ministry to complete the objective. You don't have to go in the mission field. You don't have to do this or that. Whatever means really whatever you do. Do all for the glory of God.
Well, folks, that's my prayer for you and for me, that everything we do will be for the glory of God. That's crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday, or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.